Hello, my name is Imtiaz Surve and I am an IT professional. I also teach students. I have been working in the field of IT from 20 plus years and have worked in various industries like BFSI, finance, retail, IT, ITES. I do keep on teaching students, giving them, I would say, the practical views of how work happens in the industries. Today I will run you through the contents of this subject, business process outsourcing, and I will take you through each of the chapters that we have. So let us begin with chapter 1, which is on outsourcing. Okay. So in this chapter, what we will do is we will cover concepts of outsourcing. We will look at the different models of outsourcing. We will see the advantages and disadvantages that are there in outsourcing. So let us go through each of them in a little detail. Overview. So I am sure most of you are conversant with the call center industry, right? So this is one of the primary, I would say, lead which was taken in outsourcing in terms of call centers. Outsourcing is the fastest growing industry today, and it caters to a huge, I would say, quantum of customers, especially which are in the western zones, the kinds of US and also in Europe. So what is outsourcing? What does outsourcing mean, right? So by outsourcing, what we do is we outsource any function, process, or even large activities to a service provider. What we are doing basically is we are picking up processes, functions out of our business, which we feel can be done in a better manner by a competent vendor, and we outsource that function to the service provider. Now this outsourcing, this can be, as you can see here, it can be either domestic or foreign. While the quantum of outsourcing on domestic front is very low, it's primarily the foreign outsourcing which provides a larger benefit, right? And the core crux of outsourcing is to meet the business objectives. Outsourcing needs to have a very definite reason execute. It is not just whims and fancies today, let's outsource this process. No, it doesn't work that way in the industry. What we need to do is strategically arrive at a particular business objective and ensure that this outsourcing helps the business, right? So look, let us look at this overview. How does outsourcing happen? So if you see, this is primarily, I would say, put into four different blocks, where block one talks about identifying the activities, right? That's basic to the process. You need to assess, evaluate, and identify what function or process you want to outsource, right? Once you identify, the next job is to identify competent service providers. Now you know what needs to be outsourced. Next is you need to find out who will execute that, right? So the focus should be on finding out competent vendors. When I say competent, the vendor should be capable of carrying out those business function processes. So it, generally, if you look at the, I would say, common aspects of outsourcing, they may be regular tasks which are common to all kinds of business. For example, say a payroll processing. This is common to most of the industries. But if you talk of specific business processes, say into some aspects of production or manufacturing, it won't be common, right? So which is where you need to identify who does that. Once you know a competent vendor or service provider, then what you do is you get into an agreement with the vendor, right? Outsourcing cannot be executed by word of mouth. It has to be a detailed contracting, I would say, engagement, where you have agreements, will have SLAs, service level agreements, right? It will have deliverables. We'll touch upon this in detail in the subsequent chapters. But the block that we are talking about is arriving at a agreement with the identified vendor. Finally, we talk about transitioning and monitoring, right? So I'll cover this also in a little more detail. But after the vendor has been identified, you then transition the process and you ensure that it is monitored. So if you look at some of the key points which are under each of the block, which we touched upon. So under identification, what you do is you identify the process function to be outsourced. Service providers, you identify service providers who are capable of providing these services. Then you assess and engage the shortlisted service providers, right? Then you transition the service and monitor operations. Fine. So let us look at the history of outsourcing, right? So outsourcing started basically from the 1970s, and this started primarily with the United States taking the lead. US is considered to be, I would say, faster in adapting technologies and in terms of executing or implementing those things. So US started taking advantages of outsourcing their business functions. As you can see, in the 1970s, they started with the smaller functions, and as they progressed to 1980s, we can see that that was the era where the PC and desktop business was booming, right? So there LAN came into force, which is your local area network, where you can connect an entire office system together and integrate. So here processes like payroll, as you can see, accounting services, outsourcing of these processes started, right? So this becomes easier primarily because if you look from a country perspective, there would be standard. For example, let us say India, so the taxation is standard, right? You have defined slabs. So a system which is functioning for payroll of A company would work well for the payroll of B company, because the tax slabs are standard across. You don't have a, I would say, difference in taxation, right? So those processes started in the 1980s, and as we moved to 1990s, which is where your internet boom, worldwide web revolution started, right? Now this advent of internet was a huge, I would say, boon to the entire IT sector, right, including outsourcing. What happens is you have access to multiple, I would say, kinds of information. You have connectivity available, right? So in a worldwide web, this played a key role in spreading, I would say, the outsourcing. As we reached 2000, the technological developments, these added to increase in the outsourcing business. And I am not sure if most of you all know or remember the Y2K problem, which is year 2000 problem. I'll touch upon that in a little more detail going forward. But 2000 is where the development started happening, and there was a dot-com boom which happened, and where this industry started going on to a peak, right? And as we progressed to 2010, it had already crossed a level of certain level of maturity, and there you had a huge, I would say, influx on software development, right? People across the globe wanted to outsource software development activities because those were time consuming, this required huge number of resources. And you can see the services business, it touched $5 billion there in 2010. And as we moved to 2015, you have almost 45% of companies in US which are outsourcing IT services, right? So this is a brief on how outsourcing started from the 70s and where it has, where it reached around 2015, right? So going forward, you can see that the internet played a key role, right, in causing that boom in the business. So looking at outsourcing as an overview, you have foreign contracting, you have domestic contracting, which we discussed, right? Foreign and domestic. And then the way, there are variants as well to outsourcing, and these are into these three categories, where you have nearshore, co-sourcing and multi-sourcing. We'll touch upon these three in a little more detail. So let's look at nearshoring. So what happens in nearshoring? Functions relocated to locations cheaper yet geographically closer, right? What happens is, if I am an organization and I am doing nearshoring, what I will do is I will search for a vendor who is closer in the geography, right? For strategic reasons. For example, if I am in the United States, Mexico becomes a nearshoring location. For sure, there has to be a benefit, right? In the same, I am sure you would agree that outsourcing in the same area, locality, there won't be difference, right? It would be following the same norms in terms of wages or other aspects, right? So nearshoring is where you typically see a location which is nearer geographically but cheaper, right? Next is co-sourcing. Now co-sourcing is basically delivering a particular service or a process jointly, right? So if I am outsourcing or if I am co-sourcing one portion of my business function or a process, I will have two people, one or three depending on the process, jointly working with the service provider to deliver the end service, right? So to give you an example, let's take a print business, right? You have a combination of hard copy physical printing plus you have a IT system where the actual data gets finalized, right? So I may want to co-source the printing part of it, but my people will finalize what format, how the look and feel or how the placement of the news has to be, right? So this is where co-sourcing is defined. Multi-sourcing is basically having multiple vendors, right? Now, for the same example, say the paper industry printing example. You have an IT system where the entire, I would say, databases are there or the entire software is there, which allows formatting, placing, I would say, drafting, creating the final, I would say, print structure. This is a huge IT function. Say I outsource that function to a service provider like Wipro, for example. They give me an IT team who handles that. I have in parallel the actual paper printing stuff, right? Which has, say, a machine provided by ABB or Honeywell's, right? And they run or manage that particular part of printing. Now that system obviously needs to connect with the IT system to get the feed, right? So you have two different vendors involved in the same process. So if I have to outsource this entire process, I will need both the vendors. It can't be just one, right? And there may be a need to keep my guy as well, right? To make it a success. Some processes may not need my intervention and I can safely outsource, right? So this is where multi-sourcing comes in place, right? So let us look now at the concept, how outsourcing started conceptually. So outsourcing, if you look, the concept revolves around three major, I would say, factors. First one is analyze, second is evaluate, third is manage. What we do is analyze. Under analyze, you carry out analysis. You assess which function of your business, process of your business needs to be outsourced, right? And these are concepts and we'll keep on reiterating these at all points in time so that you all are clear on the flow. Once the assessment is done, this happens in this analysis pie, I would say. Then you go to the next step of evaluating, right? You evaluate competent service providers who can carry out that function or process seamlessly and in a manner which is desired by you, right? Once the engagement is done, then you come to the third block of managing that vendor. Now you need to manage that service provider and ensure that the deliverables are managed and met according to your requirements, right? So this is basically a conceptual cycle that goes on. And as I mentioned, these three areas, they cover the overall concept of outsourcing, right? So let us look at, go into a little more detail and talk about forces, right? What are the different forces which touch upon outsourcing? So if you look at this picture, you have external forces and then you have internal forces, right? So let's look at the external forces first. Now, what all comprise are factors comprising in the external forces? The first one, let's pick up global competition, right? So as an industry, you are competing now globally, right? And then there's immense pressure in terms of what the competitors are doing in the industry and business. There's a huge pressure coming from the global competition, right? Next, if you look at the global external force, it's customer expectations, right? Because of the variety now available to the customer expectations are increasing, right? they are looking at better quality, they are wanting lower price, like they want a different delivery mechanism. So the customer expectations are rising, primarily given the rise of technology and other aspects as well. Now, with these two factors, the global competition and customer expectations, both are clubbing together to put a pressure on reduction in cost, right? Taking advantage of technology, things are done in a better manner. The competitor has already implemented it. It is meeting customer expectations. Now you have the pressure to reduce cost as well, right? So this is an external pressure there coming to you, because if the end product which you are selling, right, is being offered by your competitor at a lower price and it has acceptance to the customer, then obviously you need to work on reducing your cost, right? Otherwise, you won't be able to stay in the same line of business for long. Another factor is the acquisitions. Now, this is typical to large businesses, right, is where they want to expand. And in terms of expanding faster, acquisition helps, right? This particular aspect, it's like I acquire a company which is providing a certain similar or competing line of business to grow myself, right? So that also puts pressure on now having integrating two organizations and delivering, right? So it is not necessary that you have all the capabilities to carry out integration after acquisition on day one and run the business smoothly. Probably there is a need to intervene or have somebody pitch in or deliver for a given time frame. So these are some of the external forces. If you look at internal forces, right? So now internally also you have so many forces which are running around in business, and these also add to the I would say aspect or pressure of pushing the firm in terms of thinking about evaluating things like outsourcing. So let us look at some of them. Let us touch upon mergers and joint ventures, right? So when say you merge with another firm or carry out a JV, there you have a handshake between two organizations, right? Now these two organizations at a higher level, there is an understanding in terms of how the business should happen or how the end deliverable will be done. But for successful, I would say execution, it is the delivery on ground where you typically have the middle management of both the firms interfacing, interacting with each other, right, to ensure the final end product delivery under your common, I would say, brand, right? More focus on teams downsizing. Now, these are aspects, I would say, for example, say downsizing. Downsizing can be a factor coming out of the pressure to reduce cost, right? So what happens in downsizing? You are looking at reducing the workforce, right? There you are looking at having a lesser number of employees probably in the firm. And because see, if you have an employee, you are liable for the end-to-end, I would say, life cycle of that particular engagement, correct? If you are in the same manner, for example, instead of keeping my employee, I take services of an employee of a third organization, right? My liabilities to that employee are lesser than what it would be, right? So downsizing is another. Knowledge management. Now, this is critical in terms of where you have the legacy systems, right? And you are delivering internally, keeping the same setup. There, you need to have strong knowledge management to ensure that you don't miss out on any particular aspect of the process, or tomorrow if there's attrition, you have enough, I would say, content in the organization to bring the new person up to speed, right? Doing more with less and reduction of benefits. Now, these are primarily coming out of, I would say, a finance perspective, right? End of the day, there would be everything boils down to the financial sheet. So people would evaluate how you can cut costs, save money, right? So these are some of the factors which I would say forces which work around pushing your outsourcing. So we touched upon these in detail, but again, to just run upon, some of the external factors are global competition, customer expectations, acquisitions, and the pressure to reduce cost. Similarly, the internal forces, they are categorized under knowledge management, mergers, joint ventures, downsizing, reduction of benefits, doing more with less, and more focus on teams. Now, if you look at some of the common outsource processes, I've just jotted down some of them for better or easier understanding. So, the first one is content writing. Second is customer support. You then also have product marketing, payroll processing, software development, travel desk. To give an example of customer support, right? And as I mentioned, most of you are well versed with call centers. Typically, you buy a product, if it's an MNC, you will have a toll-free number, right, where you can reach out for support. These are large call centers running across the globe. And the entire support process is outsourced to a third party, where you just call up on a toll-free number. And there's a process running there which gives you a complete end-to-end interface as if you are interacting with the person from the organization. Let's take another example of software development, right? Now, this is a big area. You have the larger pieces in terms of ERPs, enterprise resource planning, the kinds of SAPs, right, which are huge, right? These are huge, I would say, industry developments. And you may also have the middle layer or business specific development, right, where you want to specifically, if you are in different line of business, develop a software which is very specific to your line of business. For example, let us pick up an example in the finance industry or probably a stock exchange, right? You can't have the same software which runs in a stock, in a bank function correctly for a stock exchange. The stock exchange will have its typical customization to meet its process of clearing, end of day settlements, right? So this again is a, I would say, a large piece of outsourcing bucket, right, where most of the efforts are collated in terms of having resources work on doing these developments. Travel desk is another simple example where you can outsource your entire travel desk. So it's like, again, you outsource it to a vendor. The vendor resource will write from initiation of the request to the final booking. He will take care of the end-to-end process. So these are some of the common processes that you come across. Now let us look at how the process functions, right? So you remember our earlier diagram where we talked about analyzing, evaluating, and managing it, right? In the process, this again revolves around three aspects. First is strategy, second is transition, and finally it's operations, right? Now this is on ground, right? You need to strategize what particular aspect of your process is coming in, transition it, and then have it go into operations, correct? So this stems from the earlier, I would say, phases only, but talks more in terms of how you are bringing this on ground. So what happens under strategy, right? So this is driven by the top management, right? You have questions of what to outsource, why to outsource, where, to whom. So this is primarily the thinking aspects, right, from the top management, right? The other one is transition, right? This is, as I mentioned, typical to the middle management. Once the strategy is finalized by the top management in terms of deciding, right, a particular process to be outsourced to b particular competent vendor. Now for sure, obviously, they won't be involved in doing the hands-on work. Now the middle management comes into play, right, and they ensure the transition of the process. Once the transition is done, then you go to operations, right? There you have a control aspect. You definitely need to control how the operations are run, which is where you have strong agreements in terms of SLAs, you have metrics defined. So this particular, I would say, phase helps in ensuring the end deliverable is clearly met, right? Now let's take a good look at some of the reasons for outsourcing. There are multiple reasons for outsourcing, and I have just captured around 6-7 of them. These are majorly broader ones, typical, I would say, common reasons. But as I mentioned, there can be other reasons as well. So let's look at some of these reasons of why we want to outsource. Let's touch upon each of them in brief. Coming to the first one, which is increasing focus on the core business, right? Now, what does this cover or what does this mean, right? Say, for example, I am into the business of medicine, medical field, right? I would definitely, for me, medicine is core to my business, the medical fraternity, right? My alignment would be more in terms of what are the advantages or I would say factors impacting this industry, right? My focus would be more in terms of aligning with the researchers, market availability, medicine, and not the non-core functions, right? I would not be, I would say, too much concerned or even wanting to understand what is happening under IT or what is happening under payroll, right? So increasing focus on my core business, what I would want to do is I would want to outsource the non-core functions. For the example, as I said, the medical industry or the medicine firm, they won't be interested in having a workforce of 20-30 people just for managing their IT, right? Because handling an employee, looking at his aspirations, as I mentioned, the end-to-end cycle, it needs a lot of work and effort, right? So this becomes one of the key reasons under outsourcing. Second one to touch upon is cost savings, right? For sure, everything revolves around cost, right? Now, if I am into a production business, right? Let us assume, same medicine, medical example. If I am producing a medicine, right? I am, say, producing bare minimum for a number, 1 lakh pills in a day, right? If I am able to reduce, say, for example, one pill is, it's costing me €2. If I am able to reduce 20 cents in one pill, right, by different aspects in terms of managing the entire production or even outsourcing, that multiplied by say a 1 lakh number, it's a huge number. So it gives a huge impact to the overall cost. Not that the entire money is saved, you definitely have to pay something to the portion which is being taken care of somebody, but for sure it gives you an advantage or benefit on cost, right? You even get to, as I mentioned, if I have 20 people handling my IT department and I outsource that function to a third party or competent vendor, I don't need to then manage those guys, even their infrastructure as well, correct? So which is where it gives me cost savings. Next is the quality improvement, right? So this is another key aspect in terms of demand or customer expectations, right? Customers nowadays, given that they have more and more options, are for sure looking at better quality, right? And you have certain specialized vendors, I would say niche players, right? They are good at their work and that portion of output is of high quality, right? So if I want a particular function or process where it is today at a quality percentage of 30-40%, I would want it bare minimum to touch 80-90%. I can look at a guy who is specialized into it, right? So that's one aspect. And then the other is on quality front is whether you have industry certification and professionally trained resources doing that. I may have, say, a legacy process of people who are working in this industry from quite some time, right? They may not have upskilled themselves, right, in terms of the recent industry certifications, right? Which is where there will be a gap in understanding what the current offerings are and what the customer is looking on. This is transparent for the customer, right? For him, it is the end product which is available at a higher level of quality. So quality improvement also is another key reason. Touching upon space management. So space management covers both aspects. you have a physical space or you have the IT space. Now you will agree that today for each resource you need to bare minimum equip him with a table, chair, sitting space, desktop or a laptop, right? So this eats up infrastructure, I would say a per FTE or per person infrastructure. If I am outsourcing, say, a job which is done in my organization for 50 resources, I have a, I would say, physical space for these 50 guys, I am having IT infrastructure. If I am outsourcing that particular piece, I can have a good, I would say, space management there in terms of utilizing it for something else or doing away with the rent of that portion, right? For sure, it is not an apple to apple stuff that I am going to save entirely on that. As I mentioned, some portion will go to the outsource vendor, right? But there is effective management and there is a, I would say, managing in terms of the new updates, the infra upkeep, all those aspects also get taken care of by the vendor. So I remain transparent to it. So if that guy's desktop or laptop goes bad, it's not no more my headache, right, to keep track of the life cycle of that equipment. So a lot of I would say benefits arise out of space management as well, right? Thank you.